Thank you, Jeanette. All right, go with me to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. Read verses 1 and 2 with me. Habakkuk 3, verses 1 and 2. The prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth, which is a musical phrase. This was a psalm to be sung. And here's his prayer. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Never fails when I have a message of great seriousness and heart-searching that you all are in the best of moods. But there's a burden here for this because we've looked at this a couple of times over the years, and it's been about 7 or 8 years, which is fitting. We ought to look at it in the midst of the years. Habakkuk, the title of this message, is a watchman, a warning, and a prayer. A watchman, a warning, and a prayer. Now Habakkuk, as all the prophets sent by God, were given the word of the Lord. Look at verse 1 of chapter 1. Look at this. Habakkuk and all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, as well as every preacher, if God has sent him, he has a burden for the word of God. In verse 1 it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And he cried, O Lord, how long shall I cry and they will not hear? Burden for the word. You need to have that burden to hear it as much as I need preach it. That a burden, if you've ever had a heavy weight that you carry, and that's what a burden is. A heavy task and a heavy heart, and you need to unload it. You need to deliver it. The word is a heavy thing, or should be, for a man to preach it, and should be for us to hear it. Sign of the times if there's not that burden. If you scan through the prophets, you go through all the prophets, as I did the last few days, you will read all of them saying they have a burden of the word, a burden of Isaiah, a burden of Jeremiah, a burden of Egypt, a burden of Babylon. And serious, heavy words in a world of sin, in a perishing world. Urgent words that need to be heard now because there is no tomorrow. There may literally be no tomorrow. We cannot preach as if there is. One old preacher once said, I preach as one who may never preach again. As a dying man to dying men. And we don't know who among us might be gone tomorrow. It happens, doesn't it? We've seen it happen in our midst. So it's serious. And serious and heavy words of warning in the midst of a sinful, and Scripture says, a perverse generation, and yet mingled with promises. Jeremiah is one in particular. I've been reading, and I advised you all some time ago to start reading the book of Jeremiah. If there's not a more relevant book in the Bible than Jeremiah that pertains to our day, it's like reading the headlines of the newspaper today. And the book of Jeremiah throughout is full of warnings and blessed promises. Those of you who've read it know what a blessed book it is. Chapter 2 here in Habakkuk, in verse 1, he says, I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I watch to see what he'll say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. A watchman, that's what a preacher's called. That's what the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are supposed to be. Watchmen, they're supposed to be watching. They're supposed to be aware. Be aware. Wary of all around them, of all that's going on. They're supposed to be watching or looking into God's Word. That's what Habakkuk said. I'm going to watch and see what he says. That is, that man, his mind is on these things and his heart. And he's looking into the Word of God for the people, for a message from the Lord. He's watching the Word unfold. If he's well acquainted with the Word, which he is, he's watching it unfold right before his eyes. Clearly, he's watching the world fulfill every single word that God says. Just watching people do exactly what God says they'll do, though they don't believe a word that God said. And he's watching for danger. That's what he's supposed to be. Watching for danger. He's watching the enemy. He's watching for the morning. Waiting on the Lord. So he's a watchman. And if you're a watchman, you watch unto prayer. Because you can't watch for 1 hour if you don't continue in prayer. And he said here in verse 1, I'm going to watch and see what he'll say unto me and what I will answer when he reproves me. The watchman needs reproof as well. And Paul said this, didn't he? After writing in Romans 8, Romans 9, he said, what shall we say then to these things? James, we've been looking at that. James said, what shall we do when we hear these things? Not only what shall we say. Habakkuk said, I'm going to watch and see how I'll answer, how I'll react, and how the people will react. James said, not only what shall we say, but what shall we do? Because if someone's just a hearer of the word and not a doer, deceive themselves. Warnings. Jeremiah, go to Jeremiah. Now, Habakkuk and Jeremiah lived at the same time. Habakkuk is a mysterious man, much like Elijah. He appears out of nowhere. We don't know much about him. But he lived at the time of Jeremiah, and we have reason to believe they knew each other. Jeremiah 5, just read with me some of these passages of Jeremiah, words of warning. Words of warning. Verse 1, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Sounds like Isaiah, doesn't it? Just like Isaiah in chapter 59. He said, there's none that seeketh, none that calleth for truth. Though they say, verse 2, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, art not thine eyes upon truth, the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they've refused to receive correction. They made their faces harder than a rock. They've refused to return. O Lord, I said, surely these are poor, they're foolishness. They're foolish. They know not the way of the Lord or the judgment of the Lord. Look at chapter 6 with me. Chapter 6. That's so many verses I wanted to read. But verse 10, and as I said, you can read through every prophet. And I basically did. I scoured through them all. Verse 10, to whom will I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. And he says, I'm full of the fury of the Lord. Full of the fury of the Lord. Verses 16 and following says to us, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your soul. There's a blessed promise of our God to look into His Word and ask and you'll receive. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, God says, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So, verse 18, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Now, what we're looking at, what the Lord says to the world and to His people. Brother John quoted Isaiah from Isaiah 6 tonight in his prayer. He said, Lord, we're men of unclean lips, and we dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. All that the Lord says to the world says to us. All that He said to Israel, He said to Judah. All He said to Judah, He said to the nations. What the Lord says to everyone, everyone needs to hear it, because we're not without sin. None of us are without rebuke. And this message is a message of revival. We're asking the Lord to revive us in the midst of the years. And we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You know it's so. And as a watchman looking into God's Word, and you've heard me be saying things like this more and more of late, that I just don't see how this nation's going to go much longer without some severe judgment upon it. I just don't see how it can be. All through the Scripture, everything I read, and in history, this nation, the Western world per se, has lived in a sense of false security for a long time now. Carnal security, like Israel of old that went to Egypt and trusted in Pharaoh, this great government's going to take care of us. I just don't see how the Lord's hand's not going to fall on this country much, much longer. And so, we, more than anybody, need to hear this. We need to hear this. Look at chapter 7. Jeremiah, the book, as I said, you need to start reading it. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we read there in Psalm 90 how that should number our days and so forth. The word, verse 1, that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, proclaim there this word. Here I am. This is what I'm supposed to say. And say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways, your doings. I'll cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, say in the temple of the Lord, church. Go down to verse 25. It says, since the day your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I've sent unto you all thy servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, hardened their neck. They did worse than their father. So speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to them. Thou shalt also call upon them, unto them, and they will not answer them. Verse 28, they say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished, is cut off from the earth. Thus saith the Lord. And all the way up to John, remember, our Lord said this, up to John, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. And our Lord Jesus Christ is that prophet. What was the first thing our Lord said in preaching as a preacher? The very first words out of His mouth as a 30-year-old man preaching. What was it? It wasn't blessing. It was repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said to His disciples one day, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. He said things like this, suppose ye I'm come to bring peace on the earth? Is it this fitting for this time of year? When everyone's saying peace, peace, and there is no peace. Suppose ye have come to send peace on the earth? Nay, rather, but a sword. And when they shall say peace and safety, our Lord said, then shall sudden destruction. He said, let not your hearts be overcharged with serpenting and drunkenness, that when your Lord appears, you're not waiting on Him. Preacher, are you trying to create fear in us? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Unite our hearts to fear Thy name. There are two kinds of fear. One is bad, one is good. The bad fear is unbelieving fear. Our Lord said in Isaiah 8, verse 12. Now, you know Isaiah 8, 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to My word, no light in them. That is, if they don't preach the whole counsel of God according to His word, there's no light in them. Isaiah 8:12, our Lord said this, don't fear their fear. Don't enter into a confederacy with the world. The world, He said, they'll join hand in hand. Though they join hand in hand, they'll not be unpunished. Doesn't matter if the whole world agrees. He said, don't fear their fear, nor be afraid of their fear. But sanctify the Lord of hosts in your hearts, in your minds, and let Him be thy fear, let Him be thy dread. Now, there's a bad fear. There's a faithless fear of unbelievers. Listen to me. Listen to me, because this is what... Are you listening? This is the fear of unbelievers. They fear... This is the fear of worldlings and carnal-minded people. They fear terrorists. They fear disease. They fear calamities, global warming. They fear economic disaster. They fear everything and everyone but God, who sends these. He's the one who sends every one of these things. You want to see that with me? Deuteronomy 32. This is carnal, unbelieving fear. To always be afraid of everything and everyone and thinking about it and worrying about it rather than fearing God. Because these things are the judgment of God upon unbelievers. All of these things are the judgment of our God, always have been. Drought, famine, disease, pestilence, afflictions have always been the judgment of God upon an idolatrous, wicked world and nation, even Israel. Deuteronomy 32, and I've been reading through this book, and you need to read it too. It's to God's professing people, all of them. Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I, even I, am He. There's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound And his sickness, God did it. And I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Read on. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood. My sword shall devour flesh. The blood of the slain of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. That's the God of the Bible. And so this is what he says to us. Don't fear their fear. Don't fear these things. This is my hand, he said. It's all my hand. Don't be listening to it. Don't be taken up with it. Don't be like them. Fear me. And the blessed promise is, now I can smile. Because the blessed promise is, if you fear the Lord, you need not fear any of these things. You need not worry. But it's absolute unbelief. It's carnal unbelief to fear these things and always be talking about and thinking about these things. It's a bad testimony before this world. In fact, we ought to be telling the world, this is God's judgment. God's the one who sends these things. These things are His sword. His judgments upon the nation, like in Egypt. Someone wanted me to go through the book of Exodus. Well, I did. I started reading it. But, see, the Lord bringing His people out of Egypt, and He sent plague after plague after plague upon Egypt. The Egyptians, not one Egyptian ever stopped and said, what is happening to us? Not one Egyptian ever said, this must be from God. It's too severe. Romans 1 talks about the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men to hold the truth and unrighteousness, idolatrous nation. Never been a more idolatrous nation than Israel. Not even Israel. Mingled Dagon with the ark. Sins of Jeroboam. Well, Egypt didn't recognize the plagues as being from God, but the people of God did. The Israelites did. They knew this was from God. And remember what we saw, was it Sunday? Yeah, the last plague before the Lord killed the newborn, firstborn, and took His people out. The last plague was what? Darkness. Their understanding is darkened, Romans 1 said. Well, God is merciful to His people. God is merciful to all who call. God is merciful to all who repent, all who come by sacrifice. There's a godly fear. Now, here's a good fear. Godly fear. I listened to a message by my pastor on this quite some time ago and recorded it, and since then I've listened to it several times. You know, very seldom do I recommend messages by anyone else or even myself. When I do, you ought to listen to them. If you consider me your watchman, you need to listen to it. But that's one, fear of God. And he spoke of a good fear, the fear of the Lord. Number one, you fear His person. You fear His person. Isaiah saw Him. And what did he do? He said, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah fell at His feet. Job, Daniel, Ezekiel, John, name it. Name them all. His person. See, why should we fear the Lord? He loves us. You must not know the Lord. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Peter wrote this, "Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." There's a proper fear, a fear somewhere between faithless fear, carnal worry and all that, or even believers at times fear being lost and cast out and judged by God according to their sins, and they're not looking to Christ. They're not listening to God's promises, and they're not coming to Christ. They're looking at themselves. They're not looking to Him. And we have these fears. But somewhere between that and presumptuous fear of someone who's at ease in Zion saying, "Well, I trust Christ. I don't have to worry about anything." Somewhere between those two is a proper fear. "Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. There's no want to them that fear Him." This is all through the Scripture. Fearing the Lord. So, all through the Scripture. We never quit fearing the Lord. Like the disciples who loved Christ. Christ loved them, didn't He? Oh, He loved His disciples. He came for them. He loved them, and they loved Him. But it says when they saw His glory, when the Lord peeled back that covering, it says they were sore afraid. Sore afraid. They saw Him still the waves and the winds. Peter saw Him fill those nets with fish, and he thought, "He's thinking of every thought in my head." He was afraid of Him. Now, this is what my pastor said in his message. I'm not going to go into this and talk about slavish fear and all that. Just do it. Just fear the Lord. You fear His person. There's a fear of sin. There's fear of falling into temptation. It's got to be. There's a fear of sinning against the Lord, bringing reproach on Him. David said that. My reproach, I fear that. I fear bringing reproach upon God and your truth and the gospel and God's people. I fear that. We need to fear that. There's a fear we need to have for our children, those we love. We need to fear for them. They don't fear. Job did, didn't he? He said, I'm going to worship the Lord, and I'm going to call on Him. Could be my sons and daughters and not calling on Him. I'm going to call on Him for them. I'm afraid they're not calling on Him. There's a fear. It's a fear for our nation. Fear for the certain wrath. It's coming. It's imminent. We ought to love our nation like Paul did. And when he wrote Romans 8 and Romans 9, he started out with saying, "I wish I could be accursed from my brethren, my kinsmen according to flesh, who are Israelites. My heart's desire and prayer to God," he said, "for Israel is that they might be saved." Would to God we would have that kind of burden for our neighbors, huh? There's a fear for our nation upon this imminent calamity has come upon. There's a fear we should have of not having any fear, of having no burden. That's a sign of reprobacy, is no fear. You know that? There's a fear of His Word. When you hear His Word, like tonight's Word, there's a fear we need to have, and we hear it, and we say, "Oh, I'm guilty." And tremble. This is the man the Lord says, "I'm going to look to this man or woman. I'm going to look to them in mercy and grace, and I'm going to have them call on Me, and I'm going to hear them, and I'm going to grant them pardon and peace in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. They're going to call on, they're going to fear Me, and I'm going to lay their fears." But if they don't, they're going to wish they did. There's a fear. I fear. Paul, Galatians 4. Paul, who had a love for everybody he preached to, the Galatians, he said, "I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid for you." He said, "I'm afraid I've preached to some of you in vain." I have a great deal of confidence that many, not most of you, and it gives me great comfort for you, that many, if not most of you, believe the truth, fear the Lord, love the Lord, but not all. Not all. And I wouldn't be worth my salt if I didn't fear for some. I fear for those who have ears but don't hear. I fear for those who sleep dull of hearing. I fear for those who don't move with fear and prepare an ark for themselves and their children. I fear for those that are lukewarm. Fear. And I fear I don't fear enough. Well, back up now. Now look at the prayer. So we had a watchman. We have a watchman. If he's a watchman, he's got his eyes open. What are our eyes? The Word. And if you're not looking, you need somebody that is. The Word, the eyes of the Lord, clearly reveal. It's like Hebrews 9:12. The Word of the Lord. All things are naked and open before the eyes of Him that, with whom we have to do. The Word of God so clearly exposes everything about everybody. So clearly. You have a watchman. Got to have a watchman. Sheep, got to have a watchman. You have a warning. Got to have a warning. Got to have a trumpet of alarm and then a trumpet of jubilee. And then here's a prayer. Watch unto prayer. Alright? A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. Something needs to be sung. Something needs to be prayed at all times. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid. See that? Afraid. I heard thy speech. You know, the Lord speaks clearly. In creation. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night knowledge. Don't you see and hear the Lord's hand? See His hand? See, hear His voice and all around you? We need to. We need to wake up. You know, that will allay many of your fears and worries and troubles if you wake up like the birds. Where are the birds going to get their meal? They don't reap. They don't sow. What do they wake up doing? You know how many predators they've got? We've got a bird feeder on our back porch. And there's a cat in the neighborhood. And that cat comes and hides under those pots, those clay pots where that bird feeder is. And those birds wake up. They've got many predators. Many dangers, don't they? The elements, they live outside in the elements. They wake up singing. Let's take a lesson from that. To hear the word of the Lord in His creation, in providence. Deuteronomy, this is why we should read Deuteronomy, because He says, I think it's chapter 8, He said, you need to remember all the way the Lord has led you. That's where that song comes from. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to dread beside? Shall I doubt His tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? His providence, do you not hear it? Do you not see it in everything? His Word, oh my. You want something to allay your fears? Hear His Word. Read His Word. And hear it is the greater part. Hear a man preach it and declare it. And our Lord preached. The Son of God came. God spoke in the person of His Son. But Habakkuk said, I've heard your speech, O Lord. I've seen you in everything. I've heard you in everything. And I was afraid, you see. If someone has really heard from the Lord, someone who knows the Lord, it's impossible for a mortal to be in the presence of an Almighty God without fear. It's impossible. How can we face a holy God and not have some fear? Huh? How can we face the law of God that speaks to us and holds us guilty and not have some fear? How can we see Christ crucified, made sin for us, a substitute for us, bearing our sin, this holy, spotless Son of God, God putting his soul through hell. That's what I deserve. And not have some fear. And say, oh Lord, please let that be for my sake. How can we see our brethren all over taken from us in death? All around us, taken in death and not fear. How can we face a judgment in which our Lord Himself said, they'll all be standing before me to be judged and not have some fear? You can't, if you're hearing anything the Lord said, you can't. Well, here's what He said. Lord, I have heard Thy speech and I was afraid. That's a good thing, good place to be, Habakkuk. Oh Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years. Revive Thy work. Spurgeon said this, Lord, put new life in us. Give us a new birthday. Cause us, as it were, to hear the word like we never heard it before. In the midst of the year. Because those are the most dangerous times. Spurgeon said this, Lord, restore all the force, all the grace, all the energy, and all the love when I first fell in love. When I first heard this gospel and felt like a guilty sinner and trembled at the thought of the judgment. And then when I heard this gospel, it was the sweetest thing I ever heard. When I just hear it, I remember, brethren, and I'm preaching to me too. You got to know this. Turn to Psalm 51 with me. Psalm 51. I remember as a young believer reading every sermon I could get my hands on. I read all of Spurgeon's New Park Street. And whenever I would just hear the word mercy, it would be the greatest thing I'd ever heard. Since when did we cease to need mercy? Do we need it less now? People, we need it more. Because now we're sinning. And we commit many of the same sins, don't we? Huh? We need it worse than ever. When the church is revived, the Lord will rekindle the heat of their first love that they left. Now the Lord, in the seven churches, seven letters to the churches, what was the first one? Ephesus. Do you love the book of Ephesians? Oh my. But He said Ephesus left their first love. In other words, the message wasn't the greatest thing that they've heard anymore. They've heard it before. They left that sweetheart love. When God sent them a preacher, they thought he was the greatest thing they'd ever received. And every message he preached was the greatest message they ever heard. Might not have been, but they thought it was. Because they just loved this gospel. Why did they leave it? Always the same reason. It's always the same reason. The world. Always. Always. All right, in the midst of that, those letters was a letter to, didn't write it down, Thyatira maybe. It says that they had a name that they lived, but they were dead. It said, you just strengthen the things that remain. Sad, isn't it? And then the last letter was to Laodicea. And what did that say? Remember what that said? The last warning to Laodicea. And all those churches are gone. They're all gone. But this doesn't make us tremble in fear. The church at Laodicea was rich, increased with goods, and in need of nothing. and didn't know that they were more naked and blind and miserable and poor than they were when he found them. He said, I counsel, buy this gold. Buy it all over again. Sell what you have. Give yourself totally to it. He said to Ephesus, do the first works. Repent. He said to all of them, repent. Do the first works. In other words, total commitment. Total commitment to the cause of Christ. Total commitment to the gospel. Total commitment and support to the gospel. Give yourselves complete. Do the first works. Or I'm going to take your candlestick out of it. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the year. Psalm 51, my pastor brought this up. He said, the church will never see conversions unless the Lord brings them out of a bad state that they're in. David said this in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's the joy. Paul wrote in Hebrews, hold fast the joy and confidence. The joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto them. When the church is on fire again for this gospel, has a burden for it, that's when people will be converted. In our text, he says, I've heard thy speech and I was afraid. I see what's happening. I see all the warnings. I see the signs. My eyes are wide open. I see this happening. I see it happening right before my eyes. Revive thy work in the midst of the year. In the midst of the years, make known. What's that? Now he said, revive thy work in the midst of the year. Thy work. His work. His work of grace. His work of salvation. Revive it in our hearts, O Lord. Revive it. What becomes lukewarm. Revive it when we get cold. Make us hot again. Revive thy work. It's His work. Christ's work. The Spirit's work of regeneration. Revive thy work. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word, David said. Listen to John Gill. He said, sometimes the spirit, the things of God in the saint becomes dead and lifeless, become backward, that is backslide, because the world and the things of it get power over us. We're unconcerned for the things of Christ, unconcerned for salvation of others, honor of His name, the good of souls under the power of some sin or carried captive by it. That was the case of David, the case of Peter and others. And when this work is revived, when the Spirit of God comes back, David said, take not thy Spirit from me. And he calls his people back to lively exercise. The affections are strong, go strongly out to God. They talk of and their conversation turns. What are we talking about? What are we going to talk about when this message is over? They that, in Malachi it says a book of remembrance was written, remember. And they that loved it, received it, spake often of these things. Our conversation is in heaven, or it ought to be. From whence cometh our Savior. For now is our salvation nearer than when it first came. Older people especially ought to be more conversant with and thinking about our long home. Conversant with it. When we go to a musical something, what are you talking about when you leave there? When you go to a ball game, what are you talking about when you leave there? Huh? We're sad on it. Oh Lord, revive my work in the midst of the year. Revive it. Revive it. In the midst of the years, make known, and I quit. He says, in the midst of the years, make known. Make known what? Well, number one, ourselves. I think we lose sight of ourselves. I know we do. We get in a pit and we don't realize it. All over again. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, the Lord said to Ezekiel, He said, cause Jerusalem to know their abominations. Cause them to know. Cause them to see the pit from which they were digged. Cause them to see that they're like that child that was cast out in the field. And I found them as a time of love. And I spread my skirt over them, the righteousness of Christ. And I said, live. And I decked you with ornaments. And I did all this for you. And I brought you myself. And you were made beautiful through my comeliness. Then what happened? She forgot. In the midst of the year, she forgot what she was and where He found her. And she started trusting in her own beauty, her knowledge, all of this. And the Lord brought her down hard. Cause your people to know themselves. Cause us to know ourselves, Habakkuk said. Cause us to know Thee. Paul said there's one thing he wanted, didn't it? One thing. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I might know Thee and the power of His resurrection. Resurrected life. Lord, I need to know more of that. I need to know something of that. Cause us to know our end. And as so much more as we see the day approaching, I'm going to bring this to our minds that, brethren, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Be careful for nothing, because you don't know what a day will bring forth. Today is a day of salvation. Cause us to know our end. Consider our latter end, the end of this world. We have here no continuing city. And he says this in closing, in wrath, remember mercy. We looked at that in Psalm 90. Something of His wrath, we see it. We see it in our own lives, don't we? Judgment that God brings in the life of a believer, surely you do. Chastening hand of our God. His frowns, have you ever felt it? Sure you have. Have you ever felt like His mercies was clean gone? Ever been like David, the heavens are brass? Have you ever felt like David, don't cast me from your presence? Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You ought to cast me out. Oh, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. You ever been like that? You have been, you are, you will be again. And in wrath, he said, oh Lord, you ought to be angry with me. You ought to be more angry with me than you are the nations who don't know your name. But in wrath, isn't this a good prayer? A daily prayer? Remember mercy. Like the thief on the cross. Remember me. Lord, you ought to be angry with me. Oh, remember your covenant that I've forgotten. Remember your word that you caused your servant to hope on. Remember the word that I forgot. Bring it back to remember. Remember your promises. Remember all these things for my sake. Oh Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Brethren, pray that prayer with me. Oh Lord, I've heard thy speech. And I was afraid. I'm afraid for myself. I'm afraid for my children. I weep. Jeremiah talked about get the women, not the women at ease in Zion. Warn them. But get the women like those two old cows pulling that cart with a burden on that cart. And we have a little cart here. And we've got an ark on it. Bind us to it. And call us to pull that cart with everything we've got, lowing the whole time. Jeremiah said that. Call for the women. Call them, teach them their daughters to mourn. Teach them to mourn. And, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the year. In the midst of the years, make known. Make us to know all over again what we seem to have forgotten. And in wrath, in the midst of the wrath, of God that's certainly coming. Be merciful. For Christ's sake, be merciful. Stand with me. Our God and our Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer of sinners, He who came to shed His precious blood for sinners. Oh Lord, we call upon You in the name that You've told us to call upon You in. And You promised to show mercy to those who call. Lord, we're calling, we're asking. Now our prayer, we've heard Thy speech. Oh Lord, make us afraid. Make us afraid. Never let us stop fearing Thee, and never let us stop fearing ourselves. Lord, we need to be afraid of ourselves, afraid of falling, fear of sin and reproach, and oh Lord, and fear for our children and those around us, oh Lord, our nation. Lord, give us a burden. Give us a burden for souls. And bring back the joy of Thy salvation, and then we'll teach sinners, and sinners will be converted unto Thee. Cause us to rejoice in God our Savior, in the gospel afresh, anew, brand new, brand new. What mercy, what grace, what pardon, what a gift, what a gift. Salvation by grace, oh Lord. Let us hear it as if it were the first time. Give us this first love, Lord. Let us not be lukewarm, but rather hot. Cause our hearts to burn when we hear the Word, and cause us to go out with this Word to a lost world with a burden of this Word and a burden for soul. Forgive us, O Lord, of our sins. Forgive us. Remember mercy, we pray. For Christ's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.